once again, we thought it'd be a good idea to present for you the Top 5 Things podcast. It's the top 5 things that happened on our Dave and Darren in the Morning show.
Oh, you're just marvelous.
Which you can hear over on Planet 93.9. We should mention, since we've got everyone here, Darren, this gives us another opportunity.
Yes, do it.
To make some exciting news here, and that is Cover 5 is back.
Thankfully.
Mm-hmm. The season begins any moment now. It's possible it's already begun when you're listening to this. Join our Cover 5 League. Now, if you played Cover 5 with us before, they're under new ownership, so all of your information is gone. You'll have to sign up again.
Yeah.
It's very
quick and easy.
Super easy to do. You give them an email, you give them a username, and you're in. The invite code is DND.
The letters, letter D, letter N, letter D, and then the number 22.
DND 22. DND 22. That is your invite code to join us for Cover 5. Okay.
Let's do this thing.
Yeah, number one, right?
Number one.
Number one.
One.
Number one.
There's a social media influencer with more than 113,000 followers on TikTok in the news this morning. And I'm guessing she'd rather not be because this TikToker went skydiving at 21 years old, and she's dead. This is a fairly well-known social media influencer. Went to Skydive Toronto to do a solo jump.
Mm-hmm.
And
wasn't ready for it?
Well, I'm very puzzled by this. Skydiving Toronto says here that the jumper that died was welcomed recent addition to the skydiving community, and that the student, quote, released a quickly rotating main parachute at a low altitude without the time altitude required for the reserve parachute to inflate.
Well, why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Couldn't someone tell you not to do that?
Before your first solo jump as a student there, you have to take a safety course that includes all the fundamentals required to successfully complete your first skydive. Such as, quote, your equipment, how to exit the airplane, free fall body position, canopy control, and emergency protocol. It also says here, weather permitting, you'll do your first skydive that afternoon. I would like to take more time.
Throwing the baby in the pool.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah. This young woman was a philosophy student at the University of Toronto. She'd placed recently as a semifinalist for Miss Canada. They're mourning up there, but it just seems to me like, I don't know, doing a solo jump on your very first day seems like
a lot to bite off.
Like, rethink that maybe?
So she had never done a tandem jump?
That I don't know.
Come on.
It says she's just taking this up. This is the, according to the National Post up there, this young woman whose name is Tanya Pardazi. Tanya is the fourth person to die while skydiving this summer in Canada. Skydive Toronto says that they are cooperating with the police in their investigation. It just seems like you might want to cool it on, you know?
Looks like she's coming in kind of hot.
Doesn't seem like she's really pulling the chute like we'd like.
I'm no professional here, but it gets to a point where if you're watching,
it's coming in kind of hot.
Well, there's going to be at some point. At some point, the way gravity works...
Oh, yeah.
It's too late for you to pull the chute.
Right, at this point...
It's just not really going to do you any good.
At this point, pulling the chute might do more harm than good. That's not great.
I mean, it might cover up the mess, but that's about it.
4 people in Canada have died just this summer. Here in the States, I guess every year there's... something like 11 fatalities a year.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading here the United States Parachute Association. They say last year there were 10 fatal skydiving accidents. That's the lowest year on record. Hey, only 10. We did it. The year 2020, there were 11. So that works out as a rate of 0.34 per 100,000 jumps.
But my guess is that those fatalities are not typically novices.
You wouldn't think.
I would tend to think it's probably somebody who's done, you know, thousands of jumps and maybe gets a little bit sloppy.
For a while there, in the late 70s, we were looking at more than 50 people a year dying in parachuting accidents. The first year was 1961 that they started keeping records of this, and there were 14 skydiving deaths. And then the numbers increased significantly over the next two decades, peaking in the late 70s when fatalities were in the 50-plus range for several years. The number every year of people who died parachuting stayed in the 30s throughout the 80s and 90s before beginning a slow general decline after the year 2000. 13 people died in 2018, 15 in 2019, 10 in 2021. And they say there were zero student fatalities in 2021. Yeah.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but most parachuting deaths, fatalities take place in 3 feet of water.
Tandem skydiving is when you're attached to somebody that knows what they're doing.
You hope.
And they say...
You hope they're having a good day.
They say that that has a much better safety rate with one student fatality per 500,000 jumps.
And I wonder if that could just be a heart attack.
Well,
we landed fine, but
that would be worse. If you're falling to the earth and you got somebody strapped to you? Do you think it happens that the instructor passes out or the student? Like, "Hey, I'm counting on you to know what you're doing," and then you look back there and they just have X's for eyes?
"I'm sorry, I got to cut you loose." You're going to do what?
You're what we call in the business dead weight. And this is not going to work for us.
I didn't die. I just passed out.
Oh, man. I'm looking at over the course of 20 years, fatalities by cause. Medical problems. They have what they call a no pull, where they just, for whatever reason, they just never pull the chute. Main reserve entanglement. Low deployment. Incorrect emergency procedures.
Jumped out of the wrong plane.
Free fall collision.
Oh, no.
You collide with someone in the air and it knocks you out?
Well, it could. What about like a big bird?
Oh, no.
Got taken out by a bird.
Oh, no. You just take a seagull in the mouth and choke to death?
Right. I swallowed a seagull. It was...
Other reasons people have died, equipment problems, entanglement, cutaway no reserve pull, or collision with an aircraft.
Forgot to put a parachute on.
Oh, no. I knew there was something I forgot.
I had this nagging feeling.
It was the darndest thing.
What am I forgetting? Did I leave the iron plugged on?
No.
No, that's not it. I didn't iron anything. I don't have an iron.
I'm really picking up speed, it seems. It's on the tip of my tongue. What am I forgetting? Oh, no. Collision with an aircraft. So you're parachuting and then an airplane comes out of nowhere and hits you?
Or do you hit the airplane that you just jumped out of?
Oh, I imagine that's probably it. Like
you don't clear it properly?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I somehow jumped out ahead of it. Instead of falling out, I jumped right into the propeller. Oh, this isn't great. Yeah,
How did I end up on the windshield of this plane? I could see the hot guys.
And they turn the wipers on, just smacking you in the face.
Trying to get rid of you like a bug.
Oh, no. Hey, guys.
Guys.
can we land like this?
I don't know how this happened.
Oh, please stop. Oh, no. Stop. Oh, it hurts.
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
Yeah, they're just... Oh, no! Come on!
Oh, God, they're getting served their meal. This is going to be a while.
You're on the windshield.
What is that?
Watching them.
What is that, pot pie?
Oh. It looks so good.
Oh.
The drool from my mouth is just flying out.
Oh, now
tremendous speed. This is
the pot pie's fogging up the window.
Oh, this was a stupid hobby in retrospect.
Why did I want to do this?
Number two. There's a phobia clinic in Amsterdam. This is a place where you go, I guess, to get over your phobias. So if you're afraid of spiders, you go to the phobia clinic and what, do they lock you in a room with a bunch of spiders?
I wonder if they ever say, no, that's a good fear to have. There's that's not really a phobia.
Your phobia is well thought out.
Exactly. You should be concerned and afraid of that.
I'm looking here. There's one in Rockford called the Rockford Anxiety.
Is it Focus House?
And Phobia Clinic. No, it's not Focus House.
It's not Focus House.
No, so they will treat you for specific phobias like fear of flying or agoraphobia or fear of public speaking.
Okay.
You go to this clinic. Let's see. They serve adolescents and adults using strategies and methods consistent with those found in professional literature. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to look here at the one in Rockford. It looks like they do a variety of affective mood disorders, impulse control, self-harming behavior, anxiety spectrum disorders, and that all makes sense. It doesn't look like they're doing anything specific for fear of flying.
But is something like fear of heights, is that really a phobia?
Sure it is.
Well, why?
Well,
it's like, what are you doing up there?
One of my father-in-laws cannot, if we're in a high-rise hotel, he can't look out the window. It's like he can't even think about doing it. And if you talk about it, like, hey, why don't you take a look out the window? He'll be like, no, we're not doing that. And
I don't want to climb on top of that bridge. You shouldn't climb on top of that bridge.
But see, being on a bridge, if you're someone with a fear of heights, can be a lot to deal with. I'm getting back to this clinic in Amsterdam. They are now hiring. They need somebody to work at the clinic who is able to vomit at will.
Mm.
And they say about 100 people have showed interest in taking this job. They are dealing with people who are afraid of vomit. So you'll come and you'll puke on command for these folks.
I don't know that that's healthy for you, is it?
To be able to puke on command?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
I would think that that's the sort of thing that's not good for your body.
No.
To undergo vomiting, typically.
The clinic will help people overcome their fear of vomiting and has put out a call for a part-time position in which a person will vomit on command to help the clinic's patients deal with their vomiting phobia.
I mean, vomiting is quite a little undertaking for your body to put up with, right?
It really is, yeah. It's not something that you should
just do willy-nilly.
No, not willy-nilly.
I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot to put yourself through. The new hire, by the way, will replace a previous employee who was just recently retired. Yeah, that thing about him puking on command, it's a tough racket.
Now,
takes a lot out of you, literally.
The Seinfeld character,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Seinfeld,
mm-hmm.
in his show, he had something about a streak of not vomiting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Didn't your son as well?
No, he
broke his streak. So he's upset with the place that caused it.
He got a bad pretzel at one of those mall pretzel shops.
How do you get hold of a bad pretzel?
He says the pretzel made him puke. This is when he was like 5.
I wonder if it
he
was
got
just...
a he got a bad Wetzel's pretzel, and he got sick on it.
Well, he's blaming the pretzel. It could very well be that he was sick from something else, and that's the last thing he had.
See, this is the thing. I remember as a child just being terrified of vomiting.
Because you're losing control of yourself. It's like you can't breathe.
Yeah.
I was terrified of that. Until, you know, probably until I was in my 20s, I had a real fear of it.
When you knew you were going to survive it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it would be, you know, when you're a child and you're waking up by your body in the middle of the night with a compulsion to just go run and be sick, that can be really terrifying and nerve-wracking. And I remember when my son was going through it, thinking, okay, He's probably very nervous. He's probably very scared. I need to be here to be a calming influence to help him through all of this. And when he got done puking, he just was furious. He wasn't upset. He wasn't scared.
Yeah.
He was furious because he's like, I haven't puked in 3 years.
Yeah.
And that pretzel place has ruined my streak.
Again, I don't know if it was the pretzel.
I don't know. I think it was.
I think he could have had a touch of something, and then you eat the pretzel and you blame it on the pretzel. I guess I had never heard of anyone being afraid of vomiting.
Oh, it's a child? I think that's a very normal thing. I'm not saying afraid of being other people vomiting. I'm saying yourself.
Yeah, that never crossed my mind to be afraid of it. I understood not caring for it.
No.
It's like I don't care for being sick and having to throw up.
No.
But the idea of being terrified of it.
Oh yeah.
I guess I've never even heard that.
Yeah, I never knew anyone that was terrified of Judy Garland till I met you.
Well, that's...
we're all of us different creatures. I think losing control of your body temporarily is much more terrifying to a child than, say,
in my defense, we're not talking Wizard of Oz Judy Garland.
No, she's a
we're not talking about Meet Me in St. Louis.
No, she didn't have an Easter bonnet on. She was downing cartons full of Seconal.
She was in her 40s and she looked like she was in her 70s.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
And a hard 70s.
The psychologist at this clinic in Amsterdam, I imagine too that if you're somebody who works at a Dutch clinic for people who are afraid of vomiting, probably a good idea to have wooden shoes on for that.
You think they clean up better?
Oh, as opposed to a canvas?
That's probably true. Yeah, you can just wipe it right off the wood.
If you're puking all the time, wooden shoes seems like a dream. It's like it never happened. The psychologist at the clinic who posted the call for an employee on Facebook says, I haven't had time to look at all of the applications and answer them all yet, but there are so many applications, it's almost impossible to oversee.
I bet there are plenty of people. I bet this is actually relatively common.
Yeah.
And people have probably had to turn the radio this morning. Mm. And granted, you've got nowhere else to go.
Right.
Just cannot stand with, can't handle hearing about vomiting.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's called...
I can't take it. I can't take that vomit talk.
Emetophobia is when kids are afraid of puking.
Never
Emetophobia.
Never considered it.
Yeah, I think I had it as a kid. It's something I've certainly grown out of.
Well, yeah, because you had to learn with the fact that you were going to be throwing up in your 20s quite a bit.
Oh, boy, I sure did. I really did.
You're going to have to learn to live with this. Oh,
it's quite a relief, actually. That's fantastic. Yeah, no, it's...
This is going to get me back to the bar. I can... the rest of my evening isn't spoiled. a little retsin, and I'm back at it.
Buddy of mine was telling me that up in Wisconsin, and this must have been a million years ago, but I mean, certainly within our lifetime and within our lifetime of being of age, that there was a bar up in La Crosse where if you puked, they would give you a complimentary shot.
What is that?
It seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Well, yeah.
It's
perpetuating a problem is what that.
It doesn't seem like a good idea.
So it should be like, finish him.
What are you doing?
Or if you throw up, you got to buy everybody a shot.
Well, now that makes more sense.
More of a deterrent than a...
Another friend of mine was telling me a story about a place here in town where you could go and have beers after hours. This is, again, a million years ago. And the two rules were, don't put any money in the jukebox because it's after hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get sick, you have to clean it up yourself. Mm. And once everybody understood those two rules, good to go. Yeah, I have no issues with getting sick or having people get sick whatsoever these days. But as a kid, yeah.
Hmm.
As an adult, not so much. Now, I don't know why that would be a crippling fear that you would need to go to a clinic and have treated, but if you feel like that'll make your life better, go nuts.
No, again, I don't know that that's necessarily a phobia. If you, I don't like to be around people throwing up. I get it.
No, it's not charming.
That's not, that makes all the sense in the world. Leave the room. I get it.
Texter on our text line at 470-23-NACHO wonders, what about people who have a crippling fear of just sitting on their porch? And I thought, well, is that a thing? And then I clicked the link that they sent.
Uh-huh.
And I remembered it was.
A giant beehive in an Ashburn yard came tumbling down today. We told you the story yesterday of two Ashburn men who were afraid to even sit on their porch because of the massive hive.
Yeah, so this is a story from a number of years ago from Alabama.
Yeah, let it play out.
This story comes to us from News 10, WALB. In Alabama, the top story there in Albany was these two gentlemen.
Roommates, who, I believe.
Roommates. Afraid to even sit out on their porch.
It was even scary to tree cutters. Well, help arrived today, and WALB News 10 Stephanie Springer was there. She's here in the studio now to show us what happened.
Well, roommates Zeke Mack and Carrie Moore awoke to a huge surprise today. City workers pulled up around 9:30 and sprayed the beehive, and slowly those...
oh roommates.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot his name was Zeke Mack. Oh, my God.
Zeke
That has been Mack. so part of the... our lexicon for so long.
Right.
I forgot that that's even...
an actual individual's name and not a delicious conglomeration of whatever's in your pantry.
Whatever you want to eat tonight.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you slung together and called it dinner.
Zeke Mack is a person. But also leftovers.
Boy, I needed that.
Well, roommates Zeke Mack and Carrie Moore awoke to a huge surprise today.
See, no one ever remembers the other roommate. What's the other? It's like the
I've already forgotten.
It's like the Roebuck of Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah, it's like Terry Moore. Is that the other guy's
Terry
name?
Terry Moore?
No, thanks. Zeke Mack's where it's at.
9:30 and sprayed the beehive, and slowly those bees dropped to the ground. Then it was time to bring down the hive, which was a bit nerve-wracking for those roommates.
Roommates.
Zeke Mack and his roommate Carrie are finally able to relax on their front porch.
Which one's Zeke Mack?
I think Zeke is...
in the orange?
I think, oh, I don't remember.
Let's see, maybe they tell us.
I feel like Zeke is the fella in the orange chair.
They come out this morning, they went up, they sprayed. Now that they half of them on the ground, I feel a little better. And I can sit on the porch a little longer.
Hundreds of pesky bees they had been dealing with for months were finally dead.
That's the emotion. Yeah. So they're still out here. Got a lot of them down. He sprayed, got a lot of them down here now. They still jumping around. They ain't all dead.
But even though the city sprayed the hive and hundreds of bees fell to the ground,
and we got to worry about them flying around on the porch. But they still need to come out here and spray some muff. There's still a lot of them still up there.
They still had to deal with the occasional visitor.
There's a one right there. See a lot of bees coming this way, so I just get up and go that way.
So
that's really the secret. Yeah. When there's a lot of bees coming this way, you get up.
Way.
And you go that way.
They came up with ways of dealing with the stray bees until the tree cutters got rid of the branch with the hive.
Stay in the hive.
Today, our camera was rolling when the brave tree cutter took his chainsaw to the branch with the hive.
Just think about it.
I got some wall spray.
As Mack and Moore anxiously watched.
He never says if you want it. That's just something that we added to the story.
Well,
and now that's how everyone remembers
it. Well, whatever.
From afar.
Hey, guys.
Oh,
it's coming down, Zeke. You better run.
There you go. Oh.
So sticky.
And once the hive came down, everyone crowded around to get a closer look.
What'd it feel like? Oh, sticky.
Moore and Max say it's a big wave.
He sticks his hand in the hive.
What
does it feel like? Ooh, sticky.
Get off their shoulders.
Well, I'm glad it's down. Now I can sit on the foot and relax.
Yep, that's history now.
And now they can finally return to their everyday life. And
now
Terry doesn't have as much to say.
I think it's Carrie.
Oh, Carrie.
Carrie Moore.
Carrie Moore.
Carrie Moore, the...
And Zeke Mac with a K, whereas our Zeke Mac is missing the K.
Exactly. This is the best part. This might be my favorite part, is this reporter realizes what a hollow lie her life has been as she realizes she spent a day filming a beehive getting removed from the porch of a front house there in And she just can't make it through the story here.
And the men say they plan to put back the porch light they removed back this weekend. Since no bees should no longer be a problem, they say they plan to celebrate now that those bees are gone with the barbecue so they can enjoy their porch in peace.
And she just absolutely loses it as soon as the camera's off.
I don't know. I don't know about, a barbecue. I think, That could attract a lot of bees.
Ooh, it's.
I can't get through this. Well, thank you, listener, for.
It's true. Yes.
For reminding us that there is some people have a problem with sitting on their porch.
Yeah, roommates.
Roommates.
Number three.
Here's a terrifying story. Video shows up. This woman is blindfolded. She's got blood dripping out of her mouth, and behind her, this man is holding a knife to her throat.
Yeah.
And the woman is on the video saying, "Mommy, they've kidnapped me. Mommy, I don't know why. You can't say anything to the police. If you do, they'll kill me."
Now, are they play acting?
Well, here's where it gets weird. This woman was faking her own kidnapping to extort money from her mother.
Okay.
And
as we suspected.
And right.
because quite frankly, apparently this is where we're at, folks.
Yeah.
We don't buy any of your nonsense anymore. We don't.
You gotta be paping me.
We don't
what
buy
in
it.
The hell are you doing?
Apparently.
Here's where it gets better.
Yeah.
This woman was trying to extort money from her own mother by faking her own kidnapping and sending this video.
Uh-huh.
This was the fourth time she's pulled this.
Bing bong.
Maybe this time it'll take. Oh, this old act, huh?
30-year-old woman and four others arrested on the Spanish island of Tenerife over an alleged plot to extort a ransom payment out of the arrested woman's mother. The plot involved using fake blood to bolster the realism of the con.
You know, you always do this every year just before the NFL season starts. Well, that's because I need my football gambling money.
I gotta have it.
I've gotta have the juice. I've gotta have the action.
Give him an extra dollar.
I don't have that kind of money.
They used fake blood to make it look more realistic. The victim telling her mom in the video that the captors had beaten her up. She added in the clip that she'd been deprived of food and wouldn't be released until the gang that kidnapped her got $50,000 ransom.
And it's the Rams and Bills tomorrow night.
The mother was worried. She got this...
Not that worried.
...this clip, and she quickly went to take money out to pay the ransom. Investigators found out that this mother had already made similar payments totaling $45,000 on three previous occasions when she'd received menacing letters threatening the life of her daughter. This is the fourth time your 30-year-old daughter has been kidnapped.
And apparently it works every time. So.
And apparently.
Local authorities centered their investigation on the partner of the real victim's daughter and uncovered that his family was somehow involved in the kidnapping plot. Do you follow that?
Yeah.
The partner of the real victim's daughter was behind this. The case was initially treated as a real kidnapping, but officers quickly found out that the supposed victim was fine and free to come and go as she liked. When authorities arrested this group over the alleged scheme, the woman in the clip and her accused co-conspirators were living it up at a slot machine casino. As we predicted.
Gambling is involved. Because without you helping out, Mom, I don't have any money and it's too hot in this casino.
They're now looking at charges including extortion and other offenses, with an extortion charge alone carrying a sentence between 1 and 5 years prison in Spain. Mommy, please, you gotta help me. I don't know how, but they got me again.
They nabbed me.
It just never ends.
You know how this
Surely
works.
Surely not again. Surely not again.
You know how this works. 15 grand should do it.
Send the money to us here at the slot machine casino, please.
I know that sounds odd, but that's what they're requesting.
What are you going to do? I mean, fourth time's the charm. I don't think I'll get kidnapped again after this. But
I hope not.
Fingers crossed.
Number four.
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 I have an update to a story we brought you a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember the story about the guy in Florida? Obviously.
Florida.
Obviously. He was swimming and a gator ate his arm, and he was in the woods for like 3 days after that in the Florida swamp. They just found this guy armless.
Yeah.
He's talking now about what happened between him and the gator.
All right.
This is in Mayaca City, Florida. Mayaca City.
Florida? But that's America's wing.
Guy's name is Eric Murda, and he's getting used to life. As a one-armed gentleman.
Yeah.
He spoke to Tampa Bay's
news team
CBS affiliate there. And I think this is a character you're going to want to spend some time with.
Labor Day to you. We're so glad that you're starting your week with us here on 10 Tampa Bay. I'm Courtney Robinson.
I'm Eric Glasser in for Josh New. This evening, we are hearing for the first time from that guy who lost his arm in an alligator attack in Mayaca City earlier this summer.
Yeah, it's a story that you're...
I love how he introduces him as that guy who lost his arm. The news anchor says, we're going to hear from that guy that lost his arm.
Remember that character?
Only going to see here on 10 Tampa Bay. He is sharing his story as we get a report of yet another gator.
I also love that they're very...
Now he's a gator professional. Now he's a pundit. They're talking to him.
In your experience as someone who's been half-eaten by an alligator...
What do you think is going on here?
You're only going to hear this story here on Tampa Bay 10. We have exclusive rights to the guy who lost his arm to a gator attack and then rolled around in the swamp for 3 days.
Attack. This one happened over the weekend in the Lakewood Ranch area of Bradenton. Our Liz Crawford talked with Eric Murda, who is still adjusting to living life with one arm.
Well,
I do want to warn you, this story is graphic. Your discretion is advised.
Are we gonna see the stub?
At least a half dozen gator attacks this season around the Tampa Bay area. Eric Murda is one of those who live to tell his story.
Not the smartest decision a Florida boy can make.
Eric Murda said on July
6th. Jeez. Okay.
It's already
the
greatest.
It's, yeah.
Not the smartest decision a Florida boy can make.
No. Probably.
He's in good spirits about it, though.
You could make worse.
17th, he got lost in the woods at the Lake Manatee Fish Camp in Mayaca City. When he finally found the lake, he decided to swim across rather than walk around.
I look over and there's a gator on my right-hand side. So I went to swim and she got my forearm. So I grabbed her like this like she's trying to roll, but she snapped her head, so my arm went backwards like this completely.
He says he fought for his life.
She drug me under 3 times. She's already got my arm. So when we came up the third time, she finally did her death roll and took off with my arm.
And that's just where his story begins.
Bones poking out, muscles.
Eric Murda says he spent 3 days trying to find his way out.
You can't see anything. Everything's this tall. You know what I mean? Sometimes I felt like I was walking in circles. I didn't know. So I started following the sun and power lines and stuff like that, things I could see.
After 3 days in the swamp, he says he stumbled on a fence and a man on the other side.
I said, hey, man, I need some help. He says, what are you doing? And I said, a gator got my arm. He says, holy smokes, man.
Now he's adapting to a new normal with a new...
Holy smokes, man. What?
New perspective.
Do not feed the gators. All right, and you guys know who you are, throwing rocks at them and stuff. I've seen that on the job sites. Leave them gators alone.
Liz Crawford, 10 Tampa Bay.
Gators don't eat rocks.
No.
Is that part of the problem? Did he assume because he's not made of rock that the gators wouldn't be interested in him? And I don't know that the guy who went swimming in a lake gets to lecture me about not feeding the gators. There is a long list of people I will take that advice from.
Uh-huh.
But a guy who lost his arm... And then, how do you survive walking around a swamp for 3 days?
I don't know.
With your arm bitten off?
Yeah. Why are you wandering around for 3 days? I guess maybe you're in shock, I suppose.
Okay. All right.
I'll give you some time.
This Lake Manatee fish camp, I mean, when they showed it on the map, it doesn't look like it's that big.
Okay. And it wouldn't have taken that long to walk around the lake.
Would have been a lot easier. Yeah. No, I know what I'll do. I'll just
go ahead and swim.
Cut a shortcut. What's the worst that could happen in a state where there's gators in every pool of water?
Number five.
Story here of a couple that fell out of love with each other. It happens. And this woman, Jakiya Williams, she didn't take it too well, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of months ago...
What do you mean you don't love me?
How could you not love all of this?
How could you not love this?
I guess a couple of months ago, she was so unhappy with how things had ended that she slashed his tires.
Oh, they... It's a very popular move.
I demand satisfaction.
It really is.
It's a...
What is it about tires that when you feel that you've been wronged by a loved one, you go right after the tires? It seems, I mean, there's so much that you could do that's destructive, but the tires seem to be step one in the process of getting over it.
Well, I get to use something sharp.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's going to be a real pain in the butt for you.
Yeah.
And I might get in trouble,
mm.
but it's not like I stabbed you.
Right.
It feels like I'm stabbing you without being actually stabby.
Exactly. She's 19. He is 21 years old. This is in Buffalo, New York, specifically... A town called...
Go Bills.
Cheektowaga. Cheektowaga, New York. A Buffalo woman. On Labor Day, she calls up the ex-boyfriend and she says, listen, I've been thinking about it and I feel bad about slashing your tires.
Oh, she admitted it.
Yes. She says, I
mean, she would obviously be the first suspect.
Well, this is it. You know, when you know better, you do better. And this happened a couple of months ago. She calls him up and says, listen, I feel terrible. I did slash your tires, and I'd like to make amends. I'd like to pay you for the tires that I slashed.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrange a meetup.
What is she really up to?
She set up the meeting so she could, in fact, stab him.
Oh, God.
She ended up stabbing him.
Now that I've thought it over, the stabbing of the tires didn't do the trick.
Was not as satisfying as I thought it would be.
I thought that would basically quench my thirst. It did not.
Ja'Kia Williams arrested following a domestic situation in the parking lot of the Cheektowaga, New York Burger King.
Burger King?
Labor Day, police were dispatched to Sisters of Charity Hospital at 8 o'clock with reports of a man with a stab wound. Waylon Frears told the cops that Williams, his ex-girlfriend, allegedly stabbed him in the chest while he was sitting in his car. Witnesses corroborated the story. She set up the meeting with him so she could pay him for tires she reportedly slashed. He ended up driving himself to the hospital where he got stitches and was later released.
So did she stab him and actually throw money on him as well?
It doesn't say whether she did pay.
Yeah, I don't think she did.
Well, this whole thing was a ruse. Aren't I the color scarlet? I'm so embarrassed. She was located by Cheektowaga detectives, and it says here she was cooperative. Police report that a folding knife with a 3.5-inch blade was found on her person.
Ugh.
She's now being charged with attempted murder.
Kabam!
In the second degree, also assault in the second degree, and criminal possession of a weapon in the fourth degree. Yeah, if an ex calls you and says they'd like to pay for your tires, just say, look, that's okay. Let's move on. Maybe lose this number.
Drop the knife.
You're a pain in the ass! You're a pain in my ass!
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in having you pay me for the tires.
Mm-mm.
Let's say we both learned a lesson.
Now that I know you have a knife and know how to use it.
Right.
That's all.
Oh, you're all angry now.
I would assume, if this had happened to me, I would assume that they're just calling to stab me. I think I would have been one step ahead of the tiger on this one.
Yes, just kind of read between the lines.
That's okay. There's no reason for us to meet. Hey, that's a bit much.
That used to be our pet name.
I need you to...
I called.
Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks. So what?
Thanks for the memories.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's going to do it for Dave and Darren's
But
top...
it is like this.
Yeah, no, it's like that, and that's the way it is. Thanks for listening to the top five things. We had fun putting it together for you. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Thanks for listening, subscribing, and leaving a review of Dave and Darren's top five things. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I'm proud of you fellas. You all kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you gotta do when you find yourself in a vicious cockfight.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.